Welcome to RegTech Impact, Aram. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Aram. I'm the CEO and founder of C2S2, and we created the rulebook technology, helping companies to communicate guidelines, regulations to their employees in a new way.
Mm-hmm. May I ask you, how would you explain your job to your grandma or grandpa? How would you explain that?
Actually, I tell them that we are caring about good corporate behavior.
Good corporate behavior. Now, that sounds very interesting. But we're talking about RegTech today. And if we're just talking about RegTech, when was the first time you heard the word RegTech? Can you remember that?
Yes. It was in 2018, I think, roughly, when we started to think of finding an investor for our business model. And in this time, this term came to my ears and eyes. And because I think RegTech is really a perspective of investors, more or less. And me coming from the corporate world and corporate compliance and governance departments, we were not so used to this perspective of regulatory compliance, governance, risk management. So I think there are two different perspectives on this topic in the market.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. But if you're just starting by defining the word RegTech, how would you define the wording RegTech? Do we have a definition of RegTech?
Actually, I found your description. And you said RegTech describes the use of modern computer-based digital technologies to automate, simplify, and improve regulatory governance, fraud, compliance, anti-corruption, ethical, and risk tasks. So starting from this, it's a very vague or very broad definition, actually. And for me, again, it's two different perspectives. The one perspective is, in my opinion, the capital market perspective, more or less. So there, I think investors are looking into the market, startup markets, new technology markets, and they define RegTech more or less, in my opinion, what I saw in the banking industry and insurance industry by using technology to optimize, automate, and or automate operations in the industry that are driven by regulatory demands, more or less. For example, know your customer processes and anti-money laundering. This was a huge and is a huge issue for this industry. And so they are saving a lot of money, or they're spending a lot of money to improve those operational procedures using RegTech startups or RegTech firms which provide more or less solutions for this. The second perspective, in my opinion, also coming from capital markets, is the legal tech area. More or less, in my opinion, this is focused more on the target group of law firms and legal departments in the corporate world. They are dealing with this term more or less. And there it's a little bit more focused, in my opinion. So it's really dealing with analyzing law initiatives on a global basis and seeing how can they adopt those legal changes in their day-to-day business in the legal departments and get more or less efficiencies in their day-to-day work out of this. So this is the one perspective. So coming from capital markets, it's RegTech and legal tech. And we can discuss whether legal tech belongs to RegTech or whether it's a different topic. But more or less, this is the one side of the medal. And the other perspective is ESG, which comes more not from the capital market, from the from the venture capital side, but in the measuring of sustainability, social impact of a company, looking on your own investments, for example, in shares of the company. This is also ESG. It's also very prominent right now in the market, and everybody is talking about it, and but it's also capital market driven. And when you look into the target group within the corporations which are really using technology and which define themselves as belonging to a special function in the company, then I think the term GRC, EGRC, enterprise risk management, is more or less what they are identifying more or less with. And of course, technology helping GRC, EGRC, enterprise risk management functions can also be defined as RegTech. But from the perspective of the target group using it in the corporations, it's GRC or EGRC or enterprise risk management.
No, that's really interesting. For example, you talked the wording legal tech and also GRC. And I think let's talk a little bit about is legal tech a part of RegTech, or is there a separate thing, or is there everything but we just saying something else? What is your opinion about that? Is legal tech a part of RegTech?
Yeah, in my opinion, yes. In the industry out there, I think legal tech more goes along with the target group, and people in law firms and in legal departments are more or less approached or can identify with this term more or less. Mm-hmm. Whether RegTech, in my opinion, is still something which is more or less more known in the banking and insurance industry.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe we can draw a vision of the wording RegTech. Just imagine a house, and we put it RegTech on the house. And maybe a room of that could be a legal tech, a room of that could be GovTech, something like that. And I think if you talk about RegTech, RegTech could be everywhere, also in the health industry, in insurance industry. And I think to sum it up, the definition of RegTech, I think we should look also this kind of perspective, Aram. Or do you agree, or what is your opinion about that?
Yes, I think this picture is quite okay. Mm-hmm. The question is, who is living in the house?
Yes.
And the ones who are living in this community, they have to speak a language that they understand, so to say. And I think when you come from the house, the corporate house, I think those people are more or less defining themselves by the function they fulfill. And there is somehow a community. So I give you an example. I would not say that the data protection officer of Deutsche Telekom defines himself as part of the compliance function, which is perhaps in another company, in another house, different, because the data protection department belongs to the compliance department. So it's more or less an organizational issue how this house is defined within an organization and how the people who are working in this company are really defining their tasks and their doings on an everyday basis. And so it's difficult to define the house.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. A very, very good answer, I think, for the definition of RegTech. But if you go further to the question, let's talk about the market. How did you describe the RegTech market? I mean, globally, and in the second we can just look to the German market. What's your opinion?
So RegTech, of course, it's an acronym. It comes from the more or less US industry or US market driven definitions. I think everything what came over there is also in trend of Germany, more or less. And as I said before, I think it's in investors' language, investors' language in the past. I think it's adopted somehow here in the venture capital market because this is, in my opinion, a very international market and people are more or less sharing their own language here on a global basis. So when you look on the development of regulatory developments in the past, we can see that the European Union is more or less leading the discussion about regulatory impact, sustainability, more or less since a few years. So in the future, I think this ESG topic becomes perhaps something which can be a topic which is driven by the European Union and by regulatory initiatives, especially coming from our one of our biggest problems, the environmental topics. And so I think on a global basis, I see it's more or less a capital market definition in the European Union. I think it's more or less a question of good corporate governance and good corporate citizenship, which is again a complicated term, but it's not so much coming from the capital market, but from the demands which the people living here in the European Union and thinking they want to be part of something which makes sense and which has a future. So perhaps we can see a trend going apart from only a market perspective to something which people want to be part of and which they think products and services make sense. And when this would be a definition or a development in RegTech or in environmental safe and health and safety or in ESG, then it would be great to see that in future. ESG is dealing with the financial impact when you invest in a company and you see, okay, what is the company doing with this money? Mm-hmm. And what is the impact in environment, in social topics, and in good governance within the company, more or less, and mm-hmm. also together with business partners the company is interacting with.
Yeah. Perfect. We talk about RegTech in general, but I'm really interested. You worked in a corporate compliance department. And why did you left the corporate compliance department to build a RegTech company? May I ask you this personal question?
Yes, of course. this was part of more or less 20 years of my professional life working in consulting companies or in corporates delivering products and services. And I always cared about this thing of good corporate behavior. So doing things which are affecting the business itself in a good manner, but also in interacting together with externals and internals. And after this very good experience over almost 20 years, I saw that there is technology coming up in the market and using technology to help people. This was to help people to take good decisions and to behave in a good corporate manner within organizations. This was something I thought technology can help in the future. And since I always had technology focus in my doings, also in these functions, I thought this would be a good idea to use technology to enable people to take good decisions.
Interesting. But just imagine you left corporate compliance department to build a RegTech company. What were the three biggest challenges for the RegTech startup?
So actually, the most challenging topic was to find customers in the first step who shared this idea which I had. Perhaps for those who don't really know what Rulebook is doing, perhaps I share a few thoughts about that. Actually, what Rulebook does is endless pages of PDF documents with regulations and with guidelines in the company are anywhere spread around in the intranet or on shares. And now using technology to really bring the core essence of those regulations to the people, using search technology, using chat bot technology. This was more or less the idea to enable people who are working in the front line taking good decisions and not making this duty of the compliance function or the data protection or the IT security function. Of course, they are needed in special cases and they have to consult a business in special situations. This is really essential. But on a day-to-day basis, there are so many things people can just consider and take their own decisions. And now I lost more or less your question, but...
I think it just asked you three biggest challenges, and one challenge was finding the customer.
Finding the customers. So our customer would be normally, when we come from the perspective of RegTech, who is responsible within corporate for those topics is normally the compliance officer. And finding a compliance officer to share this idea that it is possible to use information technology, to use AI to make that happen was about 10 years ago or 8 years ago when I had this first idea, very, very difficult, because in that time, compliance officers thought very different about technology. They thought technology is something in other areas. They used normally e-learning as a technology for bringing topics to employees. But they were not so much keen on really, advanced technology, using advanced technologies. And so it's a question of risk exposure, risk taking capabilities. And as a compliance officer or as a legal person, you normally... This is very natural. You do not want to take so many risks. Mm-hmm. And to use this technology in the first step as a first mover was more or less a risk. And I think this was the most challenging aspect of founding the company.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you have the last one. Maybe the three biggest challenge. Do you have the last one? If not, it's okay. I mean, we can sum it up. The first one was finding the customer, then convincing the compliance officers that you're new or your RegTech solution as a first mover. And maybe anything else as a challenge? Do you have?
Yes, I had a background in this industry, and I think finding people for the company who share this idea and found the company, so to say, was the third biggest point. It's easier to find something everybody understands as a demand. This demand is very special, has a special focus, has a special target group, and therefore finding people who are, so to say,
employee, maybe, like finding the right employees.
Yes, but first I had co-founders to form the company, so to say. So the two co-founders I found, they were very important. And then, of course, the next step was finding the right employees, which is also very important. But in the first step, you cannot build a company on your own. It's absolutely not possible.
That's absolutely right. But let's talk about a challenging topic in the RegTech company. I mean about sales. And how does the sales work as a RegTech company? Do we have any ideas?
Yeah, I think I can say that, especially in this industry, everything is built on trust. And building trustful relationships, especially in the B2B business, and then with this target group I have described before, was the most important topic of sales. So we focused in the first step on a very few customers, bringing really this technology to life, making really impact in those first customers with the technology, and then it was more or less very exciting and for me also very nice process to see that the customers started to talk about what they were doing together with us. And then it's always the same in small target groups, more or less, that people are talking about it, and then you have more or less followers. And when you have followers who follow the story and the idea, then sales is more or less going automatically.
But can you describe the timeline? I mean, how long could it take? 6 months, 1 year, or 3 months? Do you have an idea?
So actually, still in our sales processes, you have 6 to 12 months to convince the customer from the first contact, then making a test with real data of the customer, having discussions with other internal departments within the customer organization, coming back and then setting up the whole thing. So it's not like, you decide to use rulebook technology and just start off. Of course, you can start with a few regulations, then it's very quick, but you are going, you start a journey within the company, really making communication of rules and values to something important. And I think starting off with the first customers and coming really into a sales process more or less was about 2 to 3 years at least. And my recommendation is always you need the time to be successful, and you need a good investor and a good team who has also the time. And it's not only everything good which is set up within 6 to 12 months from the scratch.
absolutely, thank you. I mean, let's talk about another question. I mean, we can maybe think about what do we need to be a good RegTech company? I mean, what do we need to be a good RegTech company? You can wish everything. I mean, do we need more support from the governmental side? What's comes in mind to be a good RegTech company?
I think when you see how many regulations are out there, I think we do not need more support from the governance creating more or less the business case. There is so much regulation out there, so this is there. I think finding investors, having a mindset in the market which also takes risks in financing those startup or RegTech companies is of course very important. And the other thing which I think is important, you need, beside the pure technology which is part of your business, you need also traction in the topic you are dealing with, and finding people like you and of course I had a lot of experience with the topic, and so I had not only the idea of technology, I had also the idea of content. So I think in future RegTech is defined by three things. Of course, you need regulation, otherwise RegTech would not exist. You need good technology which is designed in a way that it helps people. And the third thing is you need content, good content, and people who understand the needs of the clients and who can deal with the topic and the content.
Mm-hmm. But in which, I mean, we can talk about company areas, can RegTech really add value? I mean, we talk about companies, about in which areas can RegTech really add value?
I think there are two different levels in the company. There's on the one hand, everything which creates the vision, the strategy, values of the company. So more or less everything which is the frame and which gives the company its shape, more or less. And there is an organization. It has to be set up and it has to be function in a good way. This is the one thing, so to say, having a good framework for everything. RegTech can help here in this area. And the second thing is really operations and business processes. So normally we in the past defined the one thing was more or less corporate behavior and corporate compliance. And the other thing is business process compliance or operational excellence. And I think these are the both areas, making the company good on the one hand, giving a good understanding of how we work together, how we are adhering to values and rules. And the second thing is making the business efficient with processes, procedures, which automate more or less regulatory tasks and making the company more successful and more efficient in adhering to rules in their business processes.
Interesting. If you talk about RegTech and we talk about compliance department, what should RegTechs learn or consider working better with the compliance department? What can they do?
Yeah, the question is how the compliance officer defines him or herself. I think the compliance function was more or less or defined themselves more or less in this first level, corporate behavior, corporate values, and so on. And more the compliance officer has to add value also in the operations and has to deal with digitization in processes, in internal controls, in technology, which really brings up also issues, for example. Mm-hmm. So it's not only spanning the frame and talking about good things and communication, but also communicate within the processes. So using analytics, for example, within processes to find critical solutions on a ad hoc basis. So I think it has to do a lot of to do with how the compliance function will define their tasks in the future. Mm-hmm. And whether they really go into the operations of the company and really helps the organization there to be better and more efficient.
Mm-hmm. That means for a RegTech company, you should talk with the compliance department of a company and also with the C-level. Also with the chief compliance officer. Or the question is, as a RegTech company, who is my right spokesman? Or if I want to make sales with a company, I should talk with the compliance department and?
And I think with with legal and with also the functions within IT, which drive innovation and digitization in the company. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think it has to be more or less connected. So it's not talking, okay, you have to behave in this and here's the regulation. You have to care about, okay, what is the business doing with this regulation in the processes?
What do you think are the three major upcoming trends in the DRG and in the RegTech world?
So I think the connection between the behavioral compliance level and the operations, this has to be combined in the future. I think second line of defense, so these functions, they have to build up strategies and technologies which help the first line of defense. And I think third step or a third driver will be the third line of defense. So how can they really be used to bring an independent opinion to the company using also technology, advanced technology. Let's take a corporate audit department. I see them still using technology from 20 years ago, auditing processes, procedures, auditing departments. So they have to also develop in using the right technology to identify issues in the company. And I think this will bring a totally new world into the assurance business. Let's call it this way. How can it happen that auditing firms are auditing companies and 2 days later the company is gone? Mm-hmm. Because they have so big issues. So how is it possible that bank accounts and funds are not found? Yes, there is a lot of criminal energy within those corporations.
Wirecard, maybe?
Yeah, it's Wirecard. It was Enron. It was there are so many examples of the past which can give example here. Mm-hmm. And I think this industry to really bring trust again into the market they have to use also technology to give really assurance to the participants of the market, to the people working in companies. So as a startup, we were audited by an external auditor. It was a demand of our investor. So it was a very, very important step for us to have an independent view on what we are doing with our Steuerberater, yeah, tax accountant, and so on and so forth. But when they just tick the box and not looking really into the topics, and really making sure that the things are running in the right way, then it's complicated. I give you an example of a company. They were keen on having a certification of the effectiveness of their compliance management system. And normally you talk to people and you see procedures, you see documentations and so on and so forth. You see the values, you see trainings, you see everything of that. Risk assessments, reportings, and so on and so forth. They have whistleblowing lines. And this is also part of a good compliance management system. We have standards out there. So this company said, okay, we want to have the highest certification. It's not the design of the system, not the implementation of the system. No, the system is really effective, working effectively. And they said, we want to use advanced technology in analytical accounting, for example, to make sure that we really, really don't have an issue. And I think this is the step, looking really into the transactions and the details. So you can be a good compliance officer, making everything what's in the standards, but when the operations are not running in this way and when you have nobody who is looking at this, but not going there hours, weeks, talking to people and printing papers with tests and so on. No, really going into the operations and really see, okay, how is it really working, and give value to the compliance function, that they can improve the system, and not trying to get the Persilschein under your system just because you have a good documentation. This is not the future, I think. So assurance industry has to develop and has to be independent enough to afford this kind of assurance work.
I mean, we talk about RegTech, we talk about compliance departments, but one question, if we able to transform the RegTech function into the digital age, all parties of the global ecosystem, I mean public and private, should work together. Who globally are taking the lead in this? What is your opinion? Is there a, or you can say, a global ecosystem who can globally or here nationwide are taking the lead in this?
So when you talk about the startup industry, more or less, or the investors, I think we are seeing some really exciting business models in those areas, and investors are really seeing the chance in the future. Of course, money is always important. I think it more important, because money goes only into things corporations or organizations are spending money on in at the end. I think it's the top management, the owners of corporations who uses this technology, that they really see an advantage. And the biggest trend here is the ESG trend. I think when company understand that they are refinancing in the market is directly impacted by their capabilities of bringing compliance into the behavior of the mm-hmm. company and also into the processes, seeing this really as an added value, then there wird a Schuh draus.
Yes, you are right. I mean, very interesting. The final question I'm always asked is, which two books would you recommend? Do you have any books to recommend?
I got a book from my wife. It's called The Klang of the Forest or Der Klang mm-hmm. der Wälder. Mm-hmm. It deals with the sounds, the piano sounds, and young man in Japan who is exploring this world of sounds and sounding.
Aram, we are finally in the end. It was a pleasure to talking with you, and I hope we see you next time. Bye-bye, Aram.
Bye-bye, Erkan. Thank you.